Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The guest worker program is an important aspect of it. You cannot hire a guest worker until you advertise that no American will take the job, and you have to advertise at a competitive wage. I think we have struck the right balance here. We're securing our borders. We're controlling who gets a job on our term.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, one of the key Republican architects of the immigration compromise. Graham spoke there on Fox News Sunday. We'll continue to dig into different aspects of this multifaceted bill all this week. Later in the show, a call-in about amnesty and another on the new merit system for future legal immigrants that the bill would set up. Right now, three views on what the bill might mean for the workplace, employers, for wages, for working conditions. There is so much in here that would be new. Did you know that the new bill would fine employers much more heavily than before for hiring illegal workers and could even land some repeat offenders in jail? That employers would need to be certified under a government program to participate in the guest worker program? Did you know that workers in the guest worker program would be required to get health insurance? Where would that come from? And that employers would lose the right to sponsor individual workers for legal status as they have now. And there is much, much more. We will get three views. First, from Anna Avendano, AFL-CIO Immigrant Worker Program Director and Associate General Counsel of the Labor Federation. Ms. Avendano, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm happy to be with you.
Overall, does the AFL-CIO support the bill?
No, we're very troubled by the whole architecture of this bill. It really does not address the real cause of illegal immigration in the country, which is that there's a real incentive for economic exploitation of workers. And this bill doesn't do anything about ending that. It just continues the two-tiered labor market that we have now.
You argue that wages would go down under this bill. But if it becomes harder to employ illegal workers and the guest workers have to be paid the same as anyone else, which the bill says, why would that happen?
Well, because neither of those things are true. Neither of those things are going to happen from this bill. In fact, this bill is entirely modeled on programs that currently exist and that are complete failures. What you mentioned about employers being fined, it's true that on paper the fines are increasing, but we have fines right now. We have fines in a program that doesn't work. Employers aren't fined right now because, one, there's huge loopholes for employers to get out of the fines, and two, the data, the computer systems, the data that's available isn't accurate enough to make this program workable.
That's the current program. But under the new program, with higher fines, with new, biometric identity cards and all
this
stuff.
It's not a new program. That's the point. They're just expanding the current basic pilot program, which is now a voluntary program.
Mm-hmm.
They're making that mandatory. There's huge problems with basic pilot, and that's been documented by the Government Accounting Office. None of the problems with the basic pilot program, which is that the data is not accurate. So U.S. citizen and lawful permanent workers are being refused employment because they don't, that the data doesn't go through the computer.
It's too complex. Also, employers are complaining that this bill provides too few skilled workers to meet their needs with just 400,000 new legal immigrants a year once it all takes effect, which would be less than today. Why wouldn't that enhance wages for people, especially in better-paying jobs right now?
Actually, it's quite the opposite. The proposal provides employers for 400,000 the first year, increasing to 600,000 unskilled workers, which is substantially more than they have now. In fact, it's 400,000 per year more than they have now. And by the 10th year of this program,
that's the guest worker program,
that's
right?
That's the guest worker program. They'll have about 3.6 million workers in temporary status in the low-wage labor market. So this program is just a way to increase the low-wage labor market, which is not good policy for the United States. We shouldn't be pushing for the increase of the low-wage labor market. We should be pushing for wages to go up.
What kinds of current U.S. workers, especially members of AFL-CIO unions, do you think would be most adversely affected?
Construction workers, workers in the poultry industries, all workers who are now currently in especially wages in industries that were once good-paying, high-paying jobs that now have been turned into low-wage jobs that have been de-skilled, et cetera. the current population of undocumented workers is working predominantly in construction, service, janitorial, hotel, and poultry. And those are the jobs that employers want to import workers into. We're not opposed, by the way, to bringing future workers into the United States at all. If there's a labor shortage, workers should be able to come into the country, and employers should have the ability to bring foreign workers into the country, but not in temporary worker programs, because the jobs that they're going to do are not temporary jobs.
Could you unionize the temporary workers?
There's temporary worker programs right now, and I recommend that you read a study that was just put out by the Southern Poverty Law Center called Close to Slavery. In theory, those workers could be unionized. There's nothing on paper that prevents unionization of the workers. In practice, those workers are really enslaved to their employers, so it's practically impossible. And the current program, the expanded program that's in the Senate proposal, again, expands on this failed H-2B program. So this notion that there is that there's sort of some requirement that U.S. workers be offered the job first, it's a sham.
You know, they say immigrants overwhelmingly take jobs Americans won't do. Do you not believe that?
No, that's absolutely not true. And I dare anybody to point to a single industry where Americans are not doing the jobs right now.
We had a clip of somebody from the California Farm Bureau yesterday who said, even today, they can't find enough workers to pick all the crops, and some of the crops get left in the field.
Of course, the farm workers are always claiming that. But what's important to note in this legislation is that, you know, U.S. labor policy has always been, and immigration policy has been to limit guest worker programs to seasonal jobs, because there's some truth to the fact that if you have a six-week harvesting season, you're not going to find workers in the U.S. who can afford to take a six-week-a-year job. This program expands temporary worker programs not to seasonal jobs, but to year-round jobs. And I dare anybody to point mm-hmm. to a single industry of year-round jobs that does not have U.S. workers already working in.
Last thing before we move on and get some other views, this provision that temporary workers would have to get health insurance, what do you think that means for them, and does it have implications for other workers?
Well, there's a whole bunch of things that don't make sense about this program. It's things that, you know, the Republicans tried to put in. There's also a requirement, for example, that the current undocumented workers remain full employed full time in order to keep their visas. There's just a whole bunch of things in this program that don't make sense if our ultimate goal is to really have one class of workers in the United States.
Anna Avendano, AFL-CIO, Immigrant Worker Program Director and Associate General Counsel, thank you very much. Now a view from a different union. While the AFL-CIO opposes the immigration bill, as you heard there, the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, which broke away from the AFL-CIO a few years ago, is somewhat more sympathetic, though certainly with reservations. They also tend to represent more immigrant workers. Let's get one local take from Hector Figueroa, Secretary-Treasurer of Local 32BJ, that's the union that represents employees of buildings here in New York, doormen, porters, janitors, etc. Thank you for coming on, Mr. Figueroa. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
How immigrant is your local here in New York?
About 60% of our members indicate that they were born in another country.
And what's your position on the bill?
Our position is we neither endorse the bill nor condemn the bill. We're saying let the debate go on. Let's try to make amendments on this bill. It's a flawed bill. But it's a good development that we are actually now engaged on a national debate again on changing our immigration system.
What do you like about it?
What we like about it is that it provides legalization for 12 million workers with a non-tier system, and also the fact that it moves away from the Senate bill last year, which was really focused on the House bill on enforcement and criminalization.
You mentioned the 12 million currently out of legal status workers. Our previous guest from the AFL-CIO said as soon as those people didn't have full-time jobs, they would lose their legal status again. Is that true?
Well, those are the things that we don't like. That on the one hand, it says that we can have legalization, earn residency because people have to pay a fine for 12 million people. On the other, it creates a series of obstacles that will render many of them ineligible, and that is one of them. What we're saying is we need to clean out all the aspects of the bill that defeat the purpose of actually having a legalization program.
Would it affect your industry directly, do you think?
Absolutely. Our employers rely heavily on immigrant workers. It's one of the first doors that they go through to be part of our economy, and it has a tremendous impact in our industry.
Would it affect the labor supply for people in the building services industry?
Well, it's more than just a labor supply. Many of our immigrant workers here have been for a long time. They're also waiting for the family members to come here and be reunited with them, which is one of the aspects of the current proposal that we think needs to be changed too. We need to be able to balance out the need to employ foreign workers with the need to reunify families.
Make that case for us, and we're going to look at this more closely later in the program. But if the United States continues to allow brothers and sisters, mostly, of immigrants into the country, that there's no skills test there. There's no education test there. There's no test that person is going to contribute to the U.S. economy. So why shouldn't the U.S. just select immigrants based on its national interest?
Well, I would actually challenge that notion. In our industry, we have a lot of people whose education degrees may not be those of professional skilled workers, but they have other set of skills, and we need to pay attention to that. You know, our janitors, cleaners, superintendents bring tremendous amount of skills into the job, high levels of, commitment and working hard. And we believe that family members, generally speaking, bring different sets of skills.
Is that true, what you just said on its face? I mean, do janitors bring a tremendous amount of skills, to use your words in your example? Or isn't that by definition unskilled labor?
Well, again, you know, there is a demand in our economy for service jobs that don't require an education degree, but on the other hand, require experience in manipulating certain types of equipment, requires experience in being able to provide, human services at the buildings that residents live. I think that, people value the services that our members provide, from doormen to porters.
Do you think that we would see many temporary workers in New York under the guest worker program, and any in your industry?
We would see guest worker as currently scheduled attracting more temporary work, and that would be a big problem because the current design really doesn't contemplate for workers here to stay, but we know that people come and stay. And we think that the guest worker program needs to be challenged, needs to be changed. We need to have a flow, a program for future flow of workers that have workers' rights and allows people to apply for residency if they so want. And the current program doesn't allow for that. So, yes, that would be a big problem.
Do you have a reaction to this provision that temporary workers would be required to get health insurance? Do you think that would mean employers wouldn't provide health insurance and they would have to go on the individual market?
I think it can lead in that direction. And I think that, the problem with the guest worker program as currently conceived is that it's really, like the other speaker said, it's a flawed program. It's really based on the programs that we know are not working today. We need to come with a better design that meets the needs of our economy, but at the same time allows people, if they so choose, to be integrated, for the long term.
Hector Figueroa, Secretary Treasurer of Local 32BJ of the SEIU. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And our third view this morning of the immigration bill and its implications for the workplace in our area. My next guest is pretty much a supporter of the bill and a supporter of business generally. He is Steve Malanga, contributing editor at the Manhattan Institute City Journal and senior fellow at that conservative think tank. Steve, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
How are you?
Your basic position on the bill?
Well, my basic position on the bill is that it's a step forward, and I would, although of course it's flawed, I would point out that much of business is actually opposed to it, specific businesses are, because they don't like the way the bill has been constructed in terms of the shift to a sort of merit-based system. They want to specifically be able to continue requesting visas for their own needs. This bill is somewhat different. So the business community that has been vocal about this bill is generally actually opposed to it, more so than I am.
Mm-hmm. And why are you for it?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. First of all, I do think it's I do think that we have to shift our immigration strategy as a number of countries that are immigrant magnets around the world, like Australia and Ireland, have shifted theirs away from a family-based and to jobs-based or merits-based or skilled-based. That makes the most sense not only for our economy, it makes the most sense for the immigrants who come here. Those immigrants who are skilled-based find it much easier to assimilate economically into our culture. So I think that I'm in favor of it specifically for that reason. I do think that there are lots of adjustments that need to be made to the bill to make it work, and there are systems being used around the world. Australia's and Ireland's, for instance, are somewhat different. There are, you know, we could do versions of that, but I think it's the right approach that we're moving in this direction.
I'm going to raise some employer objections with you in a minute and get your reactions to them. But you just said this is better for the immigrants themselves to restrict immigration on the basis of skill set. Don't tell that to the people our last guest was talking about, unskilled people who get into the United States any way they can because they're going to have a better life here than in their home country.
Well, what I meant, of course, is the immigrants that we allow in legally under a new system, a merit-based system. But one of the problems we have right now with our very large pool of unskilled immigrants who are coming here, and these are unskilled immigrants who are both legal and illegal, is, as the woman from the AFL-CIO said, we have a pool of unskilled workers who are driving down wages of the native-born. That's very clear. There have been a number of studies in that. In addition to the fact that they're driving down the wages of native-born workers, what we are starting to see is that economic assimilation for low-skilled immigrants is actually starting to slow in the United States. I mean, we have a great tradition here of what we call economic mobility, of people being able to come here and climb up the ladder. But the latest studies are showing that for low-skilled, uneducated, meaning without a high school degree workers, that economic mobility is slowing down.
Real quick, are we going from give me your tired, your poor, to give me your best and your brightest?
Well, I don't think it would be quite the best and the brightest, because I don't believe a system, a merit-based system, would only bring here very highly skilled workers who are in demand in their home countries. I think it would bring in workers who have high school educations, who are blue-collar workers, who are succeeding in their economies and want to come here. And as for the tired and the poor, I could give you a whole shtick on that, but let me tell you, at the time that that phrase was written during the first Great Migration, the people that were coming to the United States actually had a greater skill set than the average of the native-born population at that particular time, from 1880 to 1920.
That's Irish potato farmers, people like that?
Yes, they had a greater skill set in general than the population. This has been documented. There have been a number of studies, which I could, you know, refer you to,
okay,
including a 1997 study by the National Academy of Sciences.
We've got about 3 minutes. Let me go down this list of employer objections that I've been collecting and get your quick reactions to some of them. Employers would lose the ability to sponsor individuals for legal immigrant status. Only the government point system and government guest worker systems would apply.
And I do disagree with that. I do think we could use what I call a blended merit system, because there will be enough visas available. I do believe that we could have a system in which we could have some general requirements for people who could come here because we deem that there are shortages in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we could reserve some visas for specific requests for business.
Okay.
I think it's possible to do both.
Also, employers would be much more responsible for hiring only legal workers, with a new bureaucracy for identifying them and much bigger fines and even jail time, I've read, for repeat offenders, employers who hire illegals.
I agree with that. I think that the only way that we are going to stop illegal immigration in the United States, I think border security is one thing, but it's never going to be the answer. I think the real answer is in the workplace, and I think that we have had very little enforcement at that level, so I'm actually in favor of that.
Employers would have to prove they tried to hire current residents before being allowed to hire any temporary workers. Is that onerous?
We have something like that right now, and I do think that is an extremely cumbersome system. And so one of the things I think, I mean, I have a whole thing about the guest worker program, but I just think in the end, the guest worker program over time should become irrelevant, but that's a whole other discussion. I think the system we have in place now, that system of proof, is extremely cumbersome.
Employers are complaining that the guest worker program only allows the workers to stay 2 years at a time, which doesn't make for a stable workforce.
Well, guest workers, by definition, are not a stable workforce. And I think that there are a lot of problems with our guest worker programs. I think that they haven't worked in the past. In general, they encourage businesses to hire unskilled labor. They encourage businesses not to look for productivity and for mechanization. In other countries where they don't have access to the same pools of labor, other developed countries, we see these industries mechanizing much more quickly. So I think that the guest worker program should be something that should be temporary and should be phased out over a 10-year period. I just think business is looking for the cheapest labor possible here, and so, of course, they're going to support it.
I wonder if that, you know, you acknowledge the AFL-CIO position there. Business is just looking for the cheapest labor, so maybe this does work to knock down wages in the United States, which is one reason the Wall Street Journal editorial page, for example, likes it.
Well, let's put it this way. I don't think there's any question that it knocks down wages. There have been a number of significant studies that have shown, including one just done by a series of Harvard economists, among the best economists in the field, that shows, for instance, that low-skilled immigrant labor does knock down the wages and increases unemployment of native-born African Americans.
So is that in the interest of the United States?
I don't believe it is. I mean, there's an unlimited pool of unskilled labor out there in the rest of the world, okay? And I don't think that kind of unlimited access to our labor pool is going to help our own economic mobility.
So I'm getting your position there. You don't really like the guest worker program, but you do like the new skills-based test for legal permanent immigrants.
Yes.
Last thing, then. The temporary workers would have to prove that they have health insurance. Have you thought at all about how that would work? Would the onus be on employers, or it looks from what I've read like it would be on the individual workers? And would that mean a whole new market would spring up for the insurance companies?
Well, first of all, given the average wages of guest workers, I don't understand quite how they would even afford that. That's almost like a contradiction. You know, there isn't an insurance policy a health insurance policy that I can think of that would be affordable to workers who are essentially making, you know, under $10 an hour.
Because these are by definition low-wage workers.
Yeah.
And there's no requirement for employers to provide the health insurance, so they would be thrust into the individual insurance market, it looks like.
Well, and it would of course, make the program in a way, you know, unattractive and unaffordable to them, which might in turn turn them back to the native-born workforce. The dynamics of that whole proposal, I just don't understand how exactly it's going to work.
Steve Malanga from the Manhattan Institute and their publication, The City Journal. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Next, another aspect of this, and then we will talk to Betty Rollin. You know her from Channel 4, maybe, these days from PBS, on her new book about adversarial psychology. But first, continuing on the immigration debate, a call in on the question, what's so bad about amnesty? Call us now and say what is or what isn't so bad about amnesty, even if we call it amnesty. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Everybody's concerned about the label. Well, let's say it is amnesty. What's so bad about amnesty? 212-433-9692.